At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 223 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return yet again with another episode of Knowing Wheel. Obviously, last week we went through all of the action from the Chinese Grand Prix. From the Australian Grand Prix. I've already spoiled the intro. This weekend we're previewing the Australian Grand Prix.
No, we're not. Jamie, we're previewing the Chinese Grand Prix.
What did I say?
Australian, what are you doing?
This might be the worst intro I've ever done to the show, but the show must go on. Jamie, Brilliant. You already interrupted me. I've done a terrible start. How are we doing, sir?
I'm doing well, yes. Back in my own house. Added another... It is a house, I'll have you know. It's not one I own, but you know, whatever.
My own house?
Still slightly unwell, but we move. Hopefully I won't have to destroy your eardrums with a load of snot. But we'll see.
I hope you don't go anywhere near my eardrums with your snot, sir, to be completely honest with you. But obviously, yeah, last weekend, Lando Norris took victory in Albert Park. Will he make it 2 from 2? Zak Brown has already claimed we're heading into the Lando Norris era, which I think is incredibly cringe-inducing, and even I don't want to see
that. He's got to be doing it tongue-in-cheek, surely. There's no way he's legit after
this
Norris.
This is Zak Brown.
He's won 2 races in a row. The first driver that's not called Max Verstappen to win back-to-back races since 2021.
Yep.
And he's already claiming a new era. So, interesting.
It's here, Jamie. It's here. And it's beautiful, I think. but we have got a few bits and pieces to actually talk about for Shanghai, don't we? First of all, before we do that, though, I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody for the continued support. Last week's podcast did really, really well. So, welcome on in to all of our new viewers. We are at 877 subscribers, so if you wanted to start taking some earnings away from Google and putting them in our pocket, please make sure that you hit that sub button as well. Once we get to 1,000, we can start monetizing the show officially on the YouTube platform. So yeah, please do consider that. Help us get one step closer. But the big news leaving Australia, wasn't it, Jamie, was the fact that I'm pretty certain it's one of the earliest we've ever seen it, but we've already had a technical directive coming in ready for Shanghai.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously flexible wings is kind of a very hot topic in Formula One these days because everyone, it feels like, tries to flex as much as possible despite it being in the rules that they've got to be stringent.
The only Jamie loves to flex his marathons.
Is I actually haven't mentioned it yet, so you're the first one, but thank you for mentioning it. The medal's up behind me, by the way.
Is it? Brilliant.
You can't see it on the camera, but it's on the top.
Oh, that's a shame.
Sorry, where was I? Oh, yes. The testing, well, the rules say they're stringent, but the tests are not particularly stringent, so you can get away with a bit of flexing. This technical directive is for the front wings to stop, like, as a stringent, more stringent test on the front wings, which people are saying will, if anything, hurt McLaren and generally help Red Bull, because Red Bull always run their car really stiff anyway. And McLaren are the ones who people claim are the most susceptible to flexible body parts. The big one is the rear wing TD that's coming in Spain, isn't it? Or is it after Spain or for Spain?
For Spain, I believe.
Yeah, and that's the one where people are like, yeah, McLaren are going to really be screwed on that. This one, I don't know if it'll have a massive impact, but it may do. And I think Red Bull will be pleased regardless going into the weekend because it's got to hurt them a bit, surely, McLaren.
Well, it's quite a big change, though, isn't it, for the front wing? So at the moment, obviously, you're allowed, I think it's under 1,500 kilos of force, you're allowed 2 mil of movement, which obviously doesn't sound like a lot, But when you're talking about like carbon fiber flexing is massive.
Yeah.
That's being brought down to half a mil for Shanghai, because obviously the teams have only got a week to sort it out, and then down to a quarter of a mil ready for Japan. Which, yeah, if you're, you know, if you're already using most of that 2 mil, to have to try and cut that down by what, 87.5%, is a big ask in just a few weeks.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. And also, the closer, obviously with ground effect era, even before ground effect, the closer you get your rear wing, your front wing, sorry, to the floor, every mil is like a few points of downforce, which is like how they measure, obviously, the downforce of the car. So if that is, if some of your downforce is generated by getting your front wing as close to that 2 mil limit as you can, then you're going to just straight up lose that. So if that's like a key part of your car and obviously all the car works together, then it could just be like have a knock-on effect of being like your side pod parts work less effectively, your underfloor, under tray, inside of the wheels, all of that could just be affected by having this problem of you having to change your front wings, basically. So we'll see. I don't think it'll shape the order up hugely, but I would be surprised if we see the McLaren's half a second clear in qualifying again.
I think it's I'll be honest, I think this circuit, I mean, we'll talk about this a bit more in a minute, but I think this circuit's going to favour McLaren even more than Albert Park did necessarily as well. But I think the big thing for a lot of teams is, you know, this weekend is going to be trying to look after the tyres over one lap, like you said, with qualifying there. I think it's certainly going to be interesting. At the moment, I think everybody's kind of a little bit kind of not sure how it's going to go. But Red Bull seem to be quietly happy with the decision, which you'd kind of think might suit them a little bit. But, you know, as we've kind of spoke about before with McLaren, pretty much since the ground effect era began, and I know we've harked on about this a few times before, they don't bring upgrades that don't work. Like,
yeah,
their wind tunnel, everything seems to be so well optimized for this ground effect era, kind of behind the scenes. You know, it's why they've been able to go from pretty much the back right to the front. So it wouldn't surprise me if they've already got a new front wing kind of design in the works, or whether they'd already kind of, they can make alterations to the wing they've got and get that working as well.
Interestingly, Lando Norris has claimed to the press that there are no changes to the car this weekend with the new rules in place. I would hazard a guess to say that's not true, personally.
We'll wait and see, won't we?
I don't think they have a new wing, but I think they've probably strengthened the current wing a little, surely.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Obviously, one of the big teams, I think, that we've got to give a little bit of mention to as well, like we obviously spoke about in the post-show from Australia. Haas, are they going to come back this weekend, Jamie? I really want to see it.
I don't particularly want to see it, to be honest, because...
Oh, just Frawley Behrmann.
Well, it just means that Sauber will be closer to last if Haas pick themselves up. So, yeah, I'll take one team being cut off if it means Sauber finished ninth, as I predicted. So, it was really weird, actually, wasn't it? We spoke about it post-show, that they just didn't get it together at all. But
they weren't even expecting it, was the odd thing, wasn't it? It was like, only Haas could do that.
Yeah, they were thinking they were going to be fine. They were like, yeah, we'll rock up, we'll take all the fuel and sandbags out, and we'll be all right. But they just weren't. They were easily the slowest car quali and race. So,
and you think,
is that
going to
change in a week? I don't think so.
No, and you think as well, especially Australia. It's always been the Austs for Haas, hasn't it? Australia and Austria were pretty much always their best shots of the year. And one of those is, I mean, obviously not the ideal conditions for them. I'm sure the car just never really suits the rain. But, I mean, is it driver taking the setup the wrong way as well? It's so odd, isn't it? Like, if they don't bounce back, as we've said before, Haas are absolutely a team that will just write off this year and focus on the future. But it is very, very weird that they kind of completely fell away. And even now, kind of almost a week later, they haven't come out kind of saying, we know what we did wrong, we should be more competitive this weekend, or anything like that. If anything, they've kind of been radio silent, which makes you slightly more worried.
Yeah, and it is interesting, because obviously Ocon's no idiot. He's a decent driver. I would say he's not as good as the driver they had last year in Hulk, but he should, like, it's not like they've got Schumacher and Mazepin.
Yeah.
Like, the drivers are not going to be, like, holding them back. that much. So it really must just be car related. But yeah, it is just a bit curious, isn't it? Because the renaissance of Haas last year was one of the big stories of going from second last in 23, or were they bottom in 23?
They were pretty low. I think low, they ended up second last, didn't they, in the end? Because Williams were last.
Up to probably sixth fastest, maybe even fifth fastest on occasions last year. Certainly by the end of the year, they were fifth fastest.
Alpine were fifth fastest by the end of the year.
Well, Mexico, I'm thinking. They were definitely fifth there. But,
Mexico, yeah, they had a really good car, didn't they?
But yeah, just the drop-off is a bit crazy. And Aya Komatsu, this is going to be the first challenge he's kind of faced as team principal, really. Because obviously, it was all praise last year when he took over from Gunther.
Yeah, yeah. I did see the clip in the Netflix, Drive to Survive, about his dig at Gunther. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't seen this, no.
It was like, what's it? It was something along the lines of, you know, now I'm in charge, I'm not going to run it like Gunther did. I'm going to do it properly. Which I thought was just incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Haas kind of... I mean, Shanghai is just a very much an all-round circuit, isn't it? It's one of those venues that tests out all components of a car. You know, you've got a big mix of long and short corners, high-speed, low-speed corners, obviously the huge back straight as well. So it really is kind of going to give us a proper idea of who's quick and who isn't. I think the other big
raining,
one...
Which it might be raining.
There is a 40% chance of rain, I believe, at the moment, which could make things very interesting, and I'm sure all of the rookies will be rather nervous about that. I think the other big one, though, another team that obviously needs to bounce back, of course, is the other, well, one of the other Ferrari-powered cars. That's, of course, Ferrari. You know, what do we expect from them this weekend?
Well, I think they were quite unfortunate to end up as low as they did in Australia in the race, because before it all kicked off with the strange weather at the end of the race, was Leclerc fifth and Hamilton seventh or something like that?
Was it fifth and seventh or sixth and eighth? I think it was sixth and eighth, wasn't it? Because Yuki...
Something like that.
Yuki basically spent all
Leclerc
day
Leclerc was
fifth.
Definitely ahead of that midfield pack.
He wasn't. But they were all still stuck behind Yuki, I'm pretty certain.
Well, even so, you know, they're not going to be horrendous. They went into Melbourne being McLaren's closest challengers, didn't they? So...
On paper.
On paper and in practice, the times definitely showed. I think if you're looking at it, it's going to be McLaren's and Max in the top three in my mind. Certainly it should be, unless it's a kind of wacky race. If Ferrari can just fill that next two spots, I think they'll kind of take that at this point until they can get some upgrades on the car. Hamilton starts getting more comfortable. They get to Monaco and Leclerc just wins. So, yeah, we'll see, basically. I think... They got to taper expectations a bit because, yeah, the pace of that McLaren is crazy. And I think Max really got that Red Bull in a good window for him. And he can kind of hang with the McLarens. But I'm not sure Ferrari can quite yet. But if they get ahead of the Mercedes and obviously Ancelotti and Lawson, they should be. They'll probably take that. If they're fourth and fifth or about there, if they sneak a podium, I think they'll be very happy.
Fair enough. I think the other big thing, of course, as well, is obviously McLaren said, you know, a lot of their strength from last weekend, especially on Saturday, came from the fact there was no wind around the venue. Mm. Obviously, Shanghai as well is a circuit that is very susceptible to a lot of wind, isn't it? You know, yes. You see on quite a flat plane, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Although it is always
I'm
impressive, isn't
in Ferrari,
it? Yeah.
For not giving Joe Guan Yu the practice session, personally.
Yeah, but they're not, are they?
No, which is a shame, because...
I'm quite surprised they haven't, to be honest.
I think if it wasn't round two, I think they would.
There's probably also an element of that. I mean, you're not going to give him Lewis's car, are you? Because Lewis obviously still needs to adapt and things. And I assume, obviously, Leclerc doesn't want to give his up. It's also, obviously, it's only one practice session.
Oh, of course, because sprint.
Because, obviously, sprint weekend. Yeah. So you can't Maybe really then, push... Yeah. You can't just push Sal straight in for qualifying with
the sprint qualifying on Joe's setup.
I'm looking forward to the idea that sprint qualifying is at 7:30 tomorrow morning. I like the idea of getting up for that.
I'm actually going to do that.
It's quite good.
Yeah, wow,
yeah, it's going to be great fun. Getting ready to get into the workday, watching sprint quali is going to be fantastic. Obviously, sprint race is at like 3 o'clock, I think, Saturday morning, so I will not be getting up for that.
I don't think I'll be getting up for that one.
But then qualifying is 7 a.m.
I'll get up for quali.
7 a.m. Sunday. Oh, yeah, obviously. 7 a.m, JP. That's like a normal time to get up at the weekend. Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. F1 Academy's back.
It is.
Who do we think is going to win this year? We spoke about F2 and F3 last week, so we may as well do F1 Academy.
I think Dorian Pin, however you say her name, will win. She's French.
She is French.
Dorian Pin, there you go. Yeah, she came second last year. Really, it was her and pulling away from the rest of the field, if you pardon the pun. And Pulling's now not there because she's doing something else. What is it? F4B? F3?
GP4, you mean? GP4.
Something like that. Yeah. It's not F1 Academy anyway. So no. Dorian Pin should, unless any of the new drivers can get towards the front, Dorian Pin should have it her own way, really.
Well, let's be fair. If we go back through the 2024 F1 Academy, Abby Pulling came second in Jeddah Race 1.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Third in Zandvoort Race 2. Second in Qatar Race 1, and then DNF'd Qatar Race 2. Which nobody got points for anyway, so I can't even remember. I think she actually won that race, but just no one got points for it. Apart from Dorian Pin, who got fastest lap. apart from that, she won every other race all year. With Dorian coming first, obviously, in Jeddah opener. Second, third. She was a little bit all over the place throughout quite a few races, actually. Got a few more wins. I think it was basically just her and Abby Pulling that won every race of the campaign. But it wasn't... She was only 40 points ahead of Maya Verg by the end of the year. So there is definitely... I think, hopefully, this season, obviously, with Abby Pulling gone, it'll be more interesting. But ultimately, I think the big thing still is, isn't it? There's just not enough cars. And especially for a lot of the circuits they race at. Like, I mean, what
the
is
cars
the
are really small as well.
There are four cars. Yeah. So, I mean, you've got this year, obviously, Shanghai Round 1, which is probably one of the better circuits for them, I would think. Jeddah Race 2 is... Well, it's a big circuit, but at least it kind of allows you to race a little bit. Jeddah, you'll just string out. Miami, you'll probably just string out. Montreal... might be okay. Zandvoort, which no one can race at anyway. Yeah. Singapore, you can't really do a lot in these kind of cars there. And Las Vegas, which would just be chaos. They really don't do themselves. Like, I understand, obviously, they want to put the drivers kind of in front of the most eyes.
Yeah.
But really, let's be fair, for a Formula 4 series like this, you want to be going to Silverstone, Monza, Spa.
Yeah.
And just a few of the other traditional European circuits.
I guess the problem is you've already got F2 and F3 at all those races, so fitting another, and generally Porsche Super Cup as well, so trying to fit another series in there would just be a logistical nightmare.
You could make the time if they wanted to.
You definitely
to.
Could.
Like,
and if they wanted to prioritise it, then bin off the Super Cup, because no one cares about that anyway on the race weekend.
How dare you say that about Porsche Super Cup? It's easily the best racing of the weekend.
It's really not. I've never seen... I've been to... 3 or 4 races where they've got Super Cup going on and never seen an overtake after lap 1.
You should have been Monza turn 1 last year. It was chaos every single lap and I loved it. We completely forgot as well, Jamie, there might be a Thai Grand Prix soon.
Yes.
Apparently, yes, Stefano Domenicali has been to Thailand.
He's also signed a new contract. We didn't talk about that last week, but he has. He's here to stay in F1, which looks like a bit of a power move to get rid of Mohamed Bin Sulayem, or Ben Sulayem, sorry. So we'll see. But he's been chatting with a higher up in Thailand, and we could be going to Alex Albon's hometown in Bangkok.
Alex Albon's hometown of Milton Keynes.
Yes, his other hometown of the Milton Keynes Grand Prix. We race around a car park. That'd be great. I don't know if this will go anywhere. It feels a bit like when they have chats with Rwanda every few years, or South Africa for that matter.
I will say is that we do already have a MotoGP race in Thailand, in Buranam.
Yes, there is a Grade 2 listed circuit, isn't there?
No, it's Grade 1. It could be Formula 1. Formula 1 could race there. It's just a terrible circuit. It would, like, just looking at the map, it would be awful for Formula 1 cars.
And I'd imagine with the amount of people in Thailand, they'd want it in a city. They'd want a street race, wouldn't they, realistically?
I would have thought so. I would expect we'll get another horrible Tilkadrome
street. Of Vietnam that we never actually raced on.
It would basically, yeah, just be Hanoi 2.0.
Yeah, we'll see. But if Albon keeps on rising his stock like he did in Melbourne, then, you know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you could easily probably turn, especially if it is a street circuit, you could turn Ryan away for 2027, I would have thought.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Which isn't a million miles away. But again, it's that question of where do you get rid of? Because like we've said, Imola will be going, Mexico. I would have thought. Mexico will definitely be going now. I can't wait for there to be no one there this year without Checo.
Catalonia. Soon.
Well, that's obviously already being replaced by Madrid, though.
Oh, it's not, though, is it? Madrid won't happen.
No, it's already got a name. If you're not seen, it's going to be called the Mad Ring. Or the Madrid, I think. I don't know.
I heard funding for it is struggling, so...
No, it'll be there.
I would be surprised.
It wouldn't surprise me if they get rid of it after a couple of years, but it will be there. It'll be one of those ones, like, you know, when you get the first race at, like, Korea a few years ago, there's just nothing there around. They basically just built
a few years
3 miles of tarmac.
15 years ago.
15 years ago. Yes, Jamie, I'm old. And what are you going to do about it? Mm. Let's do your quiz, Jamie, I think. We're bouncing around from topic to topic, but we've got a few random bits to list off. So, Jamie, when was the first Chinese Grand Prix? That's not your actual quiz.
04? 2004?
It was 04. Who won the first Chinese Grand Prix?
Oh, it actually wasn't Schumacher. Was it Raikkonen?
It was not. This is already going off to a great start.
It's going terribly. Was it Barrichello?
It was Rubens Barrichello. Oh, thank you. Rubens Barrichello, Jamie, including this race, won 11 Formula 1 Grand Prix throughout his Formula 1 career.
I know nothing about Rubens Barrichello.
You've got no time limit. I could have asked you about David Coulthard, and that could have been really bad. You've got no time limit, Jamie. You've just got to tell me the other 10 wins.
Oh,
which some of these I think you'll get very quickly. Others you'll struggle.
Yeah, I know a few of them, but I don't know many. I know his
son. As soon as you get one wrong, it's over. Yeah, he did. He did.
Let's start off with one that I'm sure about.
Exactly.
So, Monza 2009.
Correct, that's one.
In the Braun. Valencia 2009, also in the Braun.
Correct, that's two. Those are the two I definitely thought.
Those are the bankers, yeah.
Yep. And there's two more bankers, I would argue.
He won a couple more times in Monza. I think he... Oh, the one where Schumacher gave it to him in Indianapolis 2002.
Correct.
That's good.
That was basically redemption for Austria.
For Austria,
that year.
Wasn't it? I was trying for the year on that. Barrichello.
You're first three out of ten,
I think,
so far.
His first one was Hockenheim 2000.
Correct. That was the other banker I thought you'd get in. Those are the four bankers I thought
so
you'd
So now
have.
I'm just guessing, basically, aren't I? I think he may have won. He won Monza 02 or 04 or both, but I'm more confident about 02, so I go for Monza 2002.
Correct, that's five.
Thing is, I don't know much about when Barrichello won, I just know when Schumacher didn't in those years.
Yeah.
His last win before Valencia was in 2005. No, it wasn't, because... It was I'd only won one in 2005, and that was Schumacher. So it must have been late 04. But Schumacher won basically every race in 2004. Oh dear. I think, because I remember when he won in Valencia, they were all like, it's been 5 years since he won. But Schumacher won 13 of the first 14 races, and the other one was Jarno Trulli. So it must have been one of those last three in 2004, but I thought Raikkonen won two of them. He never won Brazil, obviously. And he never won Monaco. I don't think he won Monaco anyway. Oh, I'm sorry, Rubens, if you're watching, I've let you down. I will go for a bit of a stab in the dark and say Japan 04.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. So you got 5 out of 10 there. You did make me chuckle with that, because I completely understand the route you were trying to go down. But of course, we'd already prefaced the quiz with the race he won late in 04.
Oh, of course.
Which, of course, was Shanghai.
Oh, I forgot about that. Whoops.
I was almost going to give you an extra point as well. Because throughout his career, Monza was a bit of an Achilles heel for Michael Schumacher.
He won it a few times, didn't he?
Barrichello won it in 2004.
Oh, he did.
Barrichello won Monza 3 times in front of the... Well, 2 in front of the Tifosi, of course, and then 2009, which was a very popular win anyway. You have Monza 2004. He did win 2 races. I thought you might get Japan 2003, because obviously him winning that Grand Prix won Schumacher the championship that year.
I didn't remember that, to be honest.
Yeah. Silverstone 2003 as well. Bit of a shock win mid-season. Obviously, you said Indy 2002, redemption for
Austria
earlier on in the year. And obviously, you did mention Monza 2002. 2002 was actually Barrichello's best year in the sport. He got 2 more wins at Hungary and the European Grand Prix as well at the Nürburgring. So there you go. And then obviously, his first win, obviously, Germany 2000 from, 17th or 19th on the grid?
Yeah, it was low, wasn't it? It was very low down.
Which, bless him, he cried on the podium because we love Rubens. He's a proper man.
Helmut Marko would have been fuming.
Helmut Marko would have absolutely thrown his toys out of the pram over that one.
And he was probably still 70-odd then.
He was. He was like 70, I think, in 2000. He's named 95.
Exactly.
The fact
that
was 25 years ago was alarming.
I do like Rubens Barrichello a lot. He's a very popular driver, isn't he?
Jamie, yes, I hate to break it to you. It's Ferrari's year.
Is it?
Yes.
It's news to me.
Because 2003, the Australian Grand Prix, a McLaren won. It snapped the then longest world championship leading streak.
It did.
Which was Schumacher at the time. It was obviously now Verstappen. Which has now been broken. And Ferrari scored 5 points that weekend, which in 2003 is far more impressive than 2025. But Ferrari went on to win both world titles that year. So I'm happy to announce there's even more evidence to support Ferrari's year. That means for our predictions this weekend, I'm saying Hamilton wins ahead of Charles Leclerc.
I think the most unrealistic bit of that is that Hamilton beats Leclerc, to be honest. But
he was going to beat Leclerc last weekend until Ferrari screwed him. He was ahead of Leclerc before the rain.
Oh yeah, Leclerc just spun out there, didn't he? Leclerc was ahead of the race.
Hamilton was ahead. He was ahead on the restart, and then Leclerc pushed him off.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, shall we go to predictions?
We've got to do predictions, haven't we?
We have. It's a sprint race.
What's the scores? It is a sprint race. There's more
4-1 to me. I just need to keep track of that because I didn't write it down last time.
As I say, I get to do predictions first then this week. We only do sprint winner.
As well as the
pole position, obviously top three. So I'm going to say Lando Norris, sprint win. I'm going to say Lando Norris pole position.
You are boring.
I'm going to say Lando Norris race win. I'm going to say Oscar Piastri, P2. And I'm going to say... I mean, I need points early on in the year, don't I? I'm going to say...
I've typed in who I think you're going to say.
I'm going to say... Max Verstappen, P3.
Yeah, thought so. Right. I'm not going to be the exact same, but it's early years. So
you've
got to
pick different, Jamie.
I'm not going to pick different every
You've got to pick different. Yeah, I always did.
Sprint winner... Oscar Piastri.
Yes!
Pole position. Oh, I actually fancy Max for this. I don't know why.
He didn't get pole here last year.
Well, Norris got sprint pole, didn't he, in the wet?
Yeah. He might have got real pole then, I can't remember.
I think Max did get real pole. But I will not do that. I'll say Norris. I will say Verstappen's going to win from Norris. From George Russell. Why not? Get him on the podium
again. Interesting.
I've just, like, all the stones are thrown in different places there.
They really are. They really are.
Norris, Verstappen. Norris.
I'm liking that. There we go. I'm liking that. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wait, okay. Fair enough. Right. Anything else to add, Jamie? We've gone through pretty much everything I think we needed to.
Curfew stuff is a bit annoying, isn't it, for the teams?
Only a few of them.
Basically, there was delays in getting, naturally, over a course of, what is it, 3,000 miles or something?
Much more than that, Jamie.
Is it? Australia's massive, isn't it? I forgot about that.
Like 8,000 kilometres or something,
really?
Mad, I think.
Well, yeah. 8,000 km is only 5,000 miles. Not that many more.
Just over.
Some of the teams didn't get their parts to China in time, so they are being allowed to have an extended curfew on Thursday morning, I believe, which is this morning, actually. Probably already happened. Already happened, since they're, 10 hours ahead or something? So,
no. Where do you think China is?
China is... If America's 9 hours behind, surely...
China is 5 hours ahead of us. I'm calling it now.
Really?
I'm calling it now.
I don't know my time zones. As we record this, it is Thursday morning. So they probably have already gone through this stuff, but... It'll make the teams a little bit
it's
more...
It's 8 hours ahead. Sorry.
There you go. Bang
I just
on.
Know they have one time zone in the entire
country. I knew they had one
country,
time zone, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is really stupid.
Yes. Yeah, and hopefully Lance Stroll and Nico Hülkenberg carry on their good form. And
why do you want to see Lance Stroll maintain good
I don't
form?
Know. I'm enjoying the Stroll renaissance. 2025, I'm here for it. And he, you know, into his...
renaissance? He did nothing all races. He did the Lance Stroll just one yeah. time a year. Just does nothing all day and ends up in a good spot.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll see that. I don't think Salvo will score points this weekend, but I'd like it if they do.
This is the thing as well I thought about Australia, was last year Salvo should have scored points there. Like Bottas was running 10th throughout a lot of the Grand Prix. Shanghai last year, they were definitely, let's be fair, we've talked about this before, they would definitely give an extra performance that weekend.
They got double Q3 in sprint quality,
didn't they? The FIA definitely allowed them to do something with Joe's car to give them a little bit of a helping hand there, which is quite funny. They earned themselves some good CCP points.
Bottas was on for points again in that engine failure, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That Sauber car last year should have scored points on a few occasions.
Yeah, they scored points. On one occasion, because Joe is the goat.
Okay.
Exactly. Bottas who? But yeah, we'll see.
Bottas
hopefully Hulk can at least make it 1-1 against his rookie teammate in qualifying. That'd be nice.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for Hulkenberg. I hope the rookies have a better weekend for the most part.
Yeah, who's going to be rookie of the weekend?
Antonelli, probably. He's just the best one of the bunch, isn't he?
I want Liam Lawson to be it.
He's not a rookie.
Well, apart from Lawson then. Not Hadjar. Not who else? I want Jack Doohan to do well.
I really like Jack Doohan. I saw a hilarious thing. I don't know if you've seen it, but they were doing an interview with him and I think a couple of the others with Ollie Bearman. And he was saying that when they went to the prize gala in Monaco at the end of 20, it must have been the end of 22. Ollie Bearman's mum apparently had quite a few to drink. And she came up to Jack Doohan, apparently, and went, "Hi, I'm Ollie's mum, Ollie Bearman. He's racing in F2 with you next year. I hope you do really well, but not as well as my son." It was like your mum was so hammered. It was hilarious.
And Ollie must have been about 16 at that point as well.
Ollie
would have
been,
embarrassing.
Like 16. It was just the way he was there going, like, she was so drunk, but it was the fact she had to add, "I hope you do well, but not as well as my son.
Oh, why would your mum get invited to? I guess she probably had to be for parental control at 16 years old.
Parental control? Jamie's going to be the type of dad that puts ankle weights on his kids. I reckon you're going to be one of those
getting
parents.
Those Velcro dungarees so they can't lead you like a dog.
dearie me, that is
right.
A tangent.
That's
and
a good
half
time
to
end.
The show. Thank you, everybody, so much as always for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed. And Jamie and I will be back, hopefully early next week then, to review the first sprint of 2025. Intros and outros this week have been terrible for me. But yeah, we'll be back.